Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Is Amendment A in danger? Two South Dakota law enforcement officials are taking it to the courts in hopes of overturning the citizen-approved amendment to the Constitution that would legalize recreational marijuana in the state. And don't bother going to the Pennington County Sheriff's Office Facebook site to comment. We'll find out why from the Dakota Political Junkies. Taking time to join us on Thanksgiving Eve is John Schaff. He's professor of political science at Northern State University in Aberdeen. John Schaff, how's the hunting there?
It was better for my buddy this morning than for me. So, right. But there's still the afternoon.
Are you hanging out of the cab of a pickup truck?
I'm calling from the cab of my pickup truck at my buddy's farm near Oneka, South Dakota. So, I don't know if this is a political junkie's first, but...
Probably not. True South Dakota segment here on In the Moment. Yeah. We're also grateful for our longtime political junkie, Jonathan Ellis, investigative reporter for the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. Welcome back, Jonathan. Thanks for being here.
Okay, I'm a little jealous here, Lori, because I had to turn down two hunting invitations today because I'm part of the Thanksgiving skeleton crew here. So okay, have fun, yeah. John.
Yeah.
So far, I'm having fun. I hope to have more.
Yeah, awesome. I've been eating lefse by myself mournfully. So, because our Thanksgiving is very small, it's dinner for two now. So, it's a whole new year, isn't it? Let's talk about some of the big stories right now. Of course, voters approve Amendment A, which is the legalization of recreational marijuana, along with medical and industrial hemp production. And pretty quickly, Jonathan Ellis, lawmaker, said, not so fast. Tell us a little bit about where this is at right now as it continues to unfold.
Well, we have an expected court challenge coming from the Pennington County Sheriff and the South Dakota Highway Patrol Superintendent. And that, like I said, not unexpected. I think even the Attorney General notice on the ballot issue warned that there might be some kind of judicial sorting out of this. So again, there has been some pretty fierce opposition to this in certain quarters of the state's political establishment, and so it's not surprising that they're going to try to get it overturned. Basically, perhaps their best chance on this is to argue that constitutional amendments needed to have one subject, and that this particular constitutional amendment embodied several different subjects, including medical marijuana, recreational marijuana, hemp, taxation policy, local government policies, things like that. So that may be their best option at trying to get this thrown out. But I also think, you know, courts are a little leery sometimes of overturning the will of the people. It's certainly happened in the past, but I think they tread a little more carefully when these kinds of issues come before them, especially when you had a measure that won with 8% of the margin.
Yeah. All right, John Schaff, the idea that when should that have been addressed? Is there a way to keep things off the ballot because they are unconstitutional right away? A lot of people are just asking, like, why didn't we know this before? So walk us through a little bit of the process that is normal, and if you see anything sort of surprising about this one.
Well, I think that if you would have challenged this before the election, the court would have thrown it out as being, as they say, not right. There's nothing to challenge yet because there's no law. You can only challenge it once it's actually been passed. And so I don't think he could have mounted a challenge, but I think, you know, Jonathan's right. The Attorney General's explanation indicated that such a challenge was likely to happen. And so I think the questions will be, will there be a court that, for example, puts a stay on implementation of legalization of marijuana, and then know who exactly, and we know who's suing, but who will the attorneys be? Who's going to pay for all of this? And then it's up to the courts to figure out whether a process was violated. And I don't know if it was, I guess it was, and we have to go back and reconsider how we would go about such a thing. And I think that the question is for me is, you know, what does one subject mean? You could argue that the one subject was marijuana legalization. That's one subject. Or as Jonathan kind of went down the various parts of the actual constitutional amendment, do you count each of those as a different subject? And that's something that's got to be adjudicated in a court of law. And I'm sort of agnostic on that. It'll be interesting to see what arguments people come up with on both sides.
That has implications for ballot questions down the road, too, doesn't it, Ellis, as far as once the courts weigh in on what is one subject that makes a difference in the future?
Well, here's what you're going to see. You'll see if this were to be overturned by that, you'll see a ballot issue that just says legalizes marijuana. And, yeah. And what's going to happen there then when that passes, assuming, you know, if it were to pass, the state is going to end up foregoing a bunch of tax revenue that it otherwise would have gotten. You're gonna. I think that this is gonna spawn some additional litigation. John, you know, asked like who's gonna pay for it. You know, my colleague Joe Sneevy wrote a story that published last night saying the state's paying for both sides of this. The governor's office is authorized funding for overturning the law, and meanwhile, the attorney general's office is obligated in some way, even if they don't like it, to defend it. So there'll be some expense on both sides of this issue. And then, of course, you have the backers of Amendment A. They'll likely intervene in the case. Of course, they've got money because they probably don't really expect a robust defense of this from the Attorney General's office. So they'll get involved. And, frankly, I wouldn't just be surprised to see a separate lawsuit filed from them questioning whether the use of the use of public funds in trying to overturn this. So this could get messier as we go.
Yeah. John Schaff, is it true then that taxpayers are technically paying to overturn a law that taxpayers voted for?
Well, I would obviously on the face of it, that's true. On the other hand, you always have the question with something like this, what exactly is the will of the people? Because you could argue that the ultimate sovereignty of the people of South Dakota is the Constitution of South Dakota, and not even the people themselves can violate the Constitution, right? Because that really is the ultimate expression of the people's sovereignty. And that, of course, that's going to be something that, because you've got these things at tension. I think Jonathan certainly is on to something when he says that even though we like to believe in this kind of platonic ideal of judges and the legal process, that it's simply based on the law. But there's no doubt that there's a political angle to this that I would suspect that the courts might be looking for a reason to agree with the people of South Dakota, at least the majority of the people of South Dakota, because they don't want to overturn something that was voted in by, you know, not overwhelming, but pretty strong margins. But on the other hand, like I say, the people don't have the right to pass things that violate the process of the Constitution. So if we did, and then there has to be a remedy for that, and maybe we got to go back to the drawing board. And one thing that might happen is reconsidering one subject regulations, because I would say this, one of the problems with Amendment A was, and this is, it's the problem of trying to pass policy as a constitutional amendment. This probably would have worked better as an initiated measure, or realizing it wouldn't have passed, as a piece of legislation through the legislature, because it's hard to do something as complicated as public policy as a constitutional amendment. And that's something I think that probably was inevitable that this was going to come up.
Right. Which Jonathan Ellis brings up this whole idea of, if 80% of South Dakotans wanted this to be legislation, wanted this, you know, they want what they want. They want it to be legal. Is there a political fallout for lawmakers not listening to that at all? It certainly didn't seem to me, as we looked at the votes, that voters were sending in, you know, a whole slate of pro-marijuana lawmakers to peer necessarily. There's just a disjointed electorate. I don't know. How do you sort of think about this whole notion of, you know, it's not going to be legislation because lawmakers aren't for this, but the people are?
Yeah, correct. I mean, if you'd done this, and I've had some lawmakers basically admit this, tell me this, that if this had been done as an initiated measure, they would have found a way to scuttle it. because it's legislation. So, you know, it is an interesting how the elected representatives don't necessarily reflect the will of the overall public, and that's I think a reflection to me of the level of participation of certain segments of conservatives within the Republican primary system. And they have a lot of influence, and then getting the candidates who then get elected to office. Now, I will say that there's a decent libertarian strain among Republicans in this state too, who will not agree with trying to overturn this. So there is an interesting political dynamic at stake in this, even within the Republican Party itself.
Yeah. And John Schaff, maybe my logic is wrong there, so feel free to point it out. Maybe there's a geographic, you know, sort of balance to where the votes came in from that I haven't been able to spend time looking at. Anything you want to add to that, John Schaff, about just this notion of, you know, participation and reaching out to your lawmaker and lawmakers coming to peer, in theory, to carry out the will of their constituents?
Well, what it tells us is that what the will of the constituents is harder to figure out than maybe it appears, because what represents the will of the people of South Dakota? Is it the legislature that we elect, or is it ballot measures? And sometimes ballot measures can be a crude measure of public will, because the whole point of having legislatures is that policy is made through a deliberative process, not through the immediate will of the people. That's why the founders of this country eschewed direct democracy. The other thing is, even if the people of South Dakota, as it appears that they are basically in favor of legalized marijuana, it's also a question of priorities. They might be in favor of legalized marijuana, but it's maybe for your typical voter the sixth most important thing. And so they're willing to vote for someone who doesn't agree with them on that, because there are four or five other things that are more important to the voter that they do agree with the legislator on. And so it's just, we're for it, but maybe it's just not that big of enough of a priority that we adjust our members of the legislature. So we'll just have to see. Maybe one outcome would be more openly pro-legalization people running for the legislature. And then I guess we'll have a real life test as to what the people of South Dakota think.
Right. And where does that funding come from? Which goes back to this whole process in the first place of, you know, I'm sure there are lawmakers or candidates who are running who didn't win who would have liked to have seen some of that money, you know, donated to their campaign instead of just to get one issue. So fascinating as we look at how South Dakota politics works. And of course, then there is the blunt instrument of social media and Pennington County Sheriff's Office. I immediately found out that people wanted to go online and speak out or punish them by changing their rankings. Alice, tell us a little bit about just the consequences of making a decision and how quickly you really need to be on what is about to happen online.
Well, don't get me started on social media. I'm somebody who deleted the Twitter app off my phone a week and a half or 2 weeks ago after getting into Twitter fights with people. I'm like, it's enough. I'm exasperated. But you see, and I had not known this before, but you went to go to the Pennington County Sheriff's Office Facebook page, and they are they're comment after comment after comment of people who are very again on this issue, very upset with the fact that Sheriff Kevin Tom is one of the two law enforcement officers who is challenging this. And again, I think more than a measure that got more than 225,000 voters. What I haven't necessarily looked at, and we don't know. I mean, are all these people from South Dakota? I mean, are they from other are they from other states? You know, so that's the thing about social media. It's not and especially on Twitter with the proliferation of anonymous accounts, you just don't even know who anybody is. So at least with Facebook, there's at least some verification. You can find out where these people are from, maybe. But this is just the sheriff has filed a frivolous lawsuit. You know, I mean, just comment after comment. And if that entertains you, well, I guess maybe you should go check it out. their consequences are usually swift, and this Facebook page for decisions that people disagree with, and this Facebook page certainly reflects that.
Yeah, and we could come up with 10 different examples, John Schaff, of you know, Governor Kristi Noem saying her grandmother died and, you know, the trolls coming after her or telling her she should run for president in a, you know, a tweet that has nothing to do with either one of those things. Dusty Johnson talking about it's time to move on and start the transition to a new administration, and then the punishment and celebration that he takes for both those things. John, as a political scientist, does any of that matter?
I think the problem of social media is that it tends to exacerbate the voice of the most extreme elements in the population, and maybe it exaggerates it in our minds because, you know, we kind of become obsessed with it. And, you know, the Pennington County Sheriff's Office could have come out in favor of, you know, pumpkin pie and turkey gravy, and they probably would have got a bunch of people screaming at them that turkey gravy is murder. You know, I mean, you can get people opposed to just about anything, and you've got an easy way to voice that. And so I don't know what to make of it other than this is why, you know, people like Ellis are wise. And I've done the same thing. Twitter is not an app on my phone. It's to try to moderate how much we're on social media because it's a medium that. That gives voices to all sorts of people. And, you know, we're a big country. It's a big world. And you can find, you know, probably a million people who will believe just about anything. And so you have to take a lot of what's on social media with a grain of salt. And maybe this is the value of more traditional media. You know, much like I was just saying, you know, about our legislative process and policymaking should be deliberative. The problem with social media is precisely that it's too immediate and people emote instead of, you know, stepping back and, you know, reflecting on things. We yell at people and maybe that's not an accurate depiction of what public opinion actually is.
But I can hear some people saying that's what that's why they do it, because they're disappointed in the traditional outlets of journalism or whatnot, and they want to have their direct say. We're all journalists now, according to some of those people. It's just a lot going on. I don't know who looks at a sheriff's office for ratings. I didn't even know that was a thing, Jonathan Ellis. I like, you can rate your local sheriff's department. Who would take time to do that on a regular day? I'm not quite sure.
Oh yeah, the sheriff was very handled their professional arrest of when I was arrested for cocaine possession. It was a very professional arrest. I highly recommend getting arrested in this venue.
Can I do a Yelp rating of the sheriff's office? Is that possible? What does TripAdvisor say about Pennington County Sheriff?
The K-pop fans are on it, and by the end of the day, there will be a new thing for us to talk about next week. Well, happy Thanksgiving, happy hunting to you, John Schaff. Happy working, Jonathan Ellison. We appreciate both of your time, Dr. Schaff. Thanks.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Jonathan Ellis, you can find his work at argusleader.com. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving.